tweet at SaturdayRTE.
Now, as you heard there in the bulletin at 1 o'clock, there is increasing confidence in government that restrictions on inter-county travel could be lifted at some point in June. And in just over a week, the government is expected to set out a plan for the further reopening of society and the economy throughout May, June and July. I want to bring in Neil MacDonald, CEO of ISME. And now, ISME, of course, representing over 10,000 small and medium businesses nationwide. Good afternoon, Neil.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yeah, Neil, a lot of your members will be very heartened by that confirmation today and that increasing confidence about reopening. But there are challenges.
Of course there are. And while our members are increasingly confident about the economy and the direction of travel over the summer with the rollout of the vaccination campaign, I think a great number of businesses were disappointed that a more rapid reopening was not attempted. Week commencing the 12th of April, we had hoped that click and collect and certain other aspects of construction, hospitality and grooming might be reopened, if only on an appointment basis or click and collect for certain retailers.
You're getting calls, Neil, from some of your members preparing to reopen when they get the green light. This is people like hoteliers, people in cleaning services. But they're saying they're having an issue about employees who are currently on the PUP turning down the part-time hours that they are now being offered.
Yes, unfortunately, the way in which the PUP payment is constructed at the moment for employees is there's no flexibility around income in it. So any worker who has anything other than zero income to declare cannot claim the PUP. And so when there are hotels and cleaning businesses that are doing preemptive work now for an expected reopening in, or partial reopening at least in May and June, but they are struggling to get people to come back to work unless they can commit to full-time hours for them, which a great many of them can't do. So I think we're going to need to look at some of the flexibilities that, for example, exist for the self-employed. They're allowed to earn up to €960 over 2 months without threatening the PUP payment. But we're going to have to do, we're going to have to think a little bit more laterally about how we get people progressively back to work while a lot of the sectors in the economy are not yet open.
Well, just to be clear, employees as it stands, you can claim part-time job seekers benefits or short-time work support payments if you are unemployed for some days of the week. That presumably people who would come off the PUP payment could also claim that. But is it that it's not worth their while to do that?
Exactly. It is the quandary of how much do I get versus a known €350. You're right to say that you can claim back. But the problem is when you make these very simple in straight up entitlements to say €350, and then someone has to take a longer customer journey to get to avail of a payment somewhere else, people will tend to take the shortest and simplest route to income.
But of course, PUP recipients are supposed to be genuinely seeking work, and therefore, if they are offered jobs, even if it is part-time work, are they required to accept those job offers?
Well, they should be, Katie. That is part of the, they are part of the terms for qualification for the PUP, but it's not something that employers are in a position to either police or enforce. If someone doesn't come back, then they don't come back.
Yeah, I'll just put that to the panel here. James Brown, that's could be a really serious problem, because not just for this period where people are preparing to open, but presumably many hospitality businesses won't be able to open up fully anyway without indoor trade. So they might be only able to offer part-time hours.
They might be, but I think the risk around people turning down work would be quite small. We had this last summer as well when over 400,000 people came back off the PUP payments. We have to remember about people on the PUP payments. There were people who were working before COVID hit. There are people who want to work. And in terms of the hospitality industry, probably a bigger challenge for a lot of them when, as they fully reopen up, is actually maybe have lost some of their key workers who have gone off to maybe find alternative work. And my office dealt with numerous cases of this last summer. When you pointed out to people that there are other part-time supports there, if they go back to work, and if the COVID hits back again and the premises goes back down, you can go back on PUP payment. The vast, vast majority of people go back to work. Okay, well, they want to work, and the numbers in this kind of real time is very quite small.
Is that the sense you're getting, Neil, that the numbers are going to be quite
small? Yeah, we don't doubt that the numbers are small, and the issue is, you know, your panel are correct, this is confined to certain sectors, and the greater difficulty in those, for example, in hospitality that has been shut so long, is that people have taken full-time employment in areas like retail, distribution and so on, because there is full-time employment there. So it may be that it is the case that many hospitality businesses, when they reopen their doors, their staff will not be there to take them back in.
Well, we did ask the Department of Social Protection about this, and they told us that they've established an employer reporting facility to enable employers to notify the Department of staff not willing to return to work while they continue to claim PUP payments. They said in a statement to the programme, they've received notification of 2,900 cases, all of which have been investigated. The vast majority did not involve misclaiming. And they say, we would nevertheless encourage employers to continue to submit details to us where they come across reluctance of staff to return to work. The department can also help with identifying replacement staff. What do you make of that, Roisin?
I don't like the tone of that reply, I must say. I think Neil has identified a very valid issue here. And it's not as if there's going to be all of these full-time jobs available. And obviously, people want to get back into full-time work. But there is a particular issue here associated with the gradual reopening of hospitality in particular. And I think there's a need for a special measure there. And
what kind of a special measure?
This kind of approach isn't new to the Department of Social Protection. It's what they call it is tapering. So one payment reduces down as as wages go up. And, you know, that's used in relation to lone parent payments. It's used in relation to back to work allowance. So it should be possible for the department to come up with a scheme to address that. We wouldn't expect people to go off a payment and be worse off by working.
Yeah.
But it's possible to balance that. And that has been done in other schemes. These are exceptional circumstances.
David Cullinan, would you agree there that the payment should be, this PUP payment should be extended beyond its current expiry date, which is, of course, June 30th, you know, given how much uncertainty now is around this?
I do, absolutely. And I just want to echo the point that was made. The vast, vast majority of workers will want to go back to work and will go back to work. And I think in terms of the tapering of supports, that's exactly what needs to happen, because we have to understand that in certain sectors, businesses will open gradually. There won't be a big bang when it's back to normal. And it can't be the case that there's a cliff edge where all of the supports for businesses or indeed for workers just goes with a business reopening, because we have to look at the nature of the business, how it will reopen. But I wouldn't make the point as well that there are lots of low paid jobs in the hospitality sector. I think as we work our way through this pandemic, the issue of a living wage has come to the fore. Again, I welcome belatedly a commitment from the Taoiseach that he will look at this. So I think there are areas that we also have to look at. But in the very short term, I think, yes, tapering of supports both for businesses and workers will have to be looked at as we face into what will be a gradual reopening for many businesses. And I think it's good that we are in this optimistic position that we can and finally see some hope for those businesses who have been closed, some of them since last March, you know, of last year. It's been horrendous for many businesses.
Indeed. And Neil, can I ask you about that other big story of this week that broke yesterday, that KBC may be exiting the Irish market after an approach by Bank of Ireland? How worried are your members about what's happening now in the banking market?
The membership of among the ISMI members, those who would be associated with or banking with KBC, would actually be very small. It's less than 1%. They'd more or less be 80% between Bank of Ireland and AIB, and 11-13% Ulster Bank. The bigger issue here is that we are moving from what is an effective duopoly to an actual duopoly. With the departure of Ulster and KBC, we will have no meaningful competition in banking services. This means that business and retail customers have no banking power. They have no power to realistically to move their account elsewhere. There is only a choice of two. Okay. And I think there needs to be some very serious reflection now by the Department of Finance and the Central Bank as to why we cannot maintain banking entities in this country when similar sized countries like Denmark or New Zealand have far greater banking density.
Okay. Roisin Shorten.
Yeah, there's certainly very big problems in banking in this country. And the situation at the moment is very bad for customers, and it's very bad for small businesses as well, because of the lack of competition and lack of choice and lack of access. And that's having very negative implications. And banking, of course, including mortgages in particular, are much more expensive in this country than they are elsewhere. That shouldn't be the case. And it's extraordinary that the Minister for Finance didn't know anything about this until the night before. Look, we need a forum on banking because there are serious problems there, and we need to chart a way out of this so that we take steps, including, you know, Central Bank changing the rules to encourage competition and to encourage other players here.
Yeah.
But it is something that needs to be dealt with urgently.
James Brown, we just have a minute.
Yeah, look, this obviously is a significant development. It's very regrettable, and especially for the staff and the families that work in KBC, almost 1,400 staff there. I think it's important to remind customers that wherever their accounts move to, that they will be given plenty of notice, and the same protections that are there now will be kept there. We do have two banks and a third bank that is growing stronger, so there is a level of competition there, but mergers are happening right across the world. Banks are exiting right across the world. And most people,
we have a particular issue here, though.
We do have a particular issue here. I mean, there's very little barriers to any bank coming into Ireland or setting up in Ireland or provide mortgages. The view seems to be taken that it's simply not profitable because of the size of the market, because of capitalization requirements and a strong regulatory regime that is there, that should be kept there. It's important to have it there, but certainly I think it puts off some bankings coming
but
in here.
But just Roisin Shorten's point there, it was incredible that the Minister for Finance only found out about that the night before.
But the KBC is it's a private company. They're not under
Bank of Ireland. Yeah. Is not entirely a private company.
Well, the government, the Minister of Finance has shares in it, obviously, as the minister.
One of the biggest shareholders in it, and he didn't know what was going on.
He does, but the regular regime are there for when directors are meant to inform their shareholders, and that's what happens. But I think it was unfortunate. I think the minister.
But we have been promised a forum, you know, and we've also been promised a third banking force.
I would like to see that forum set up, but I don't think the minister could be involved in it. But
I'm going to have to leave it there. Apologies for cutting across you. Many thanks to my panel and all my guests today.